Right now, it's time to ask Amy. No is a word teens hate to hear from a parent, but with markets fluctuating, unstable jobs, and thinning 401ks, parents may have to say no more often to things like brand name clothes and the latest cell phones. This may come as something of a shock to a generation of teens and tweens who are used to getting what they want when they want it. Sunday's New York Times reported on some parents facing this, the frugal teenager, ready or not. Today, we're checking in with Amy Dickinson, who writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune, and we'd like to hear from you, parents who are saying no more often. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog. It is at npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson joins us from her home in Ithaca, New York. Welcome, Amy. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, Lynn. Thank you.
So, okay, after years of parents trying to give their kids everything they could, how did they begin to say no?
Well, one thing I think we need to do with our kids is maybe apologize to them for not being more active parents and not involving them more in the sort of the life of the larger world. I mean, if we have been just giving in to them constantly, then how are they going to know, you know, what life is really like? I mean, we need to teach them, right? That's our job.
How much should kids know, and I guess maybe at what age, about how much money their parents have? I mean, it may be completely obvious, but on the other hand, sometimes parents may be concealing, you know, what it's taking to give their kids what they're giving them.
Well, I think that's, you know, concealment should stop. And actually, I think older kids starting at age around 12 or 13 should know what their parents make, where the money goes, how much, what's their mortgage payment, how much are utilities, what do they, you know, what comes in and what goes out. I think that is a very, very important lesson for kids.
Now, could you overdo that? Could you just, you know, and there are different sorts of kids. I mean, some kid may take that information and not care at all. Others might get, you know, like overly anxious about it or worried about it.
Well, you don't want to worry your kids. But you know what I like about this current situation is that family, it presents an opportunity in a way for families to come together. And what you can do is you can ask, you can enlist your kids in your life as a family. If you need to cut back because your 401k just took a hit, a huge hit, then you can ask them, what are some of the things we can do as a family to cut back on our kind of weekly expenses? And I'm sure that if you prompt them, kids could probably come up with some ways to economize.
Why is it so hard to talk to kids sort of frankly about finances and money?
Well, it's embarrassing, you know, if we're not managing our own money well, it's kind of embarrassing. And one of the things I did with my own daughter is I shared some of my mistakes with her because I didn't want her to be in the dark, but I also didn't want her to repeat these mistakes. And one of the things, when she went to college, within 3 days, she got a job. And I have to say, I never told her, go get a job, but she did, and I've never been so proud, honestly. She said, I didn't want to take so much from you, and I wanted to see what it was like to earn my own money, and I think that's fantastic.
Now, are you hearing a lot from parents right now about this?
Yeah. I mean, remember the old days, Lynn, like a month ago when we worried about our overindulged kids? Well, those days came to a crashing halt. You know, one of the things I like, for instance, This American Life ran a really interesting hour on sort of the meta look at what's going on in the economy. And they explained what's a derivative, what's a credit swap. And I downloaded a podcast to play for my family because it's interesting. I wanted them to know. Now, how does this trickle down to us? Well, you can explain it. You can, you know, you don't have to reveal the actual numbers if you don't want, but you can explain when your 401k decreases in value by half, that means that you're going to have much, much, much less in the future.
What about kids? What about tweens and teens? Do you hear from them as well? What kinds of reactions are you getting from?
Well, I do. I actually hear from tweens quite a bit, and they, you know, when they write to me, it's often because they don't understand, and I urge them to ask their parents to just be honest with them about what's going on at home. I mean, that's the least we can do with our children is to be honest.
Yeah. So, what are some of the alternatives that parents and teens can sort of look into? Let's say, I'm trying to think. You can get rid of the extra pair of jeans. You can get rid of some of the clothes, but some things that maybe some kind of activity, lessons, let's say, that a child is really involved in, really that's really important to a child, music lessons or something like that. How do you deal with something like that that may now be stretching the budget?
Well, one other thing, I think that parents should work very hard to keep a child, for instance, lessons, music lessons. If your child loves music lessons, you should do everything you can to keep that kid in music lessons. But if you need to stop for 3 months until you sort of get your house in order, then you can explain that as an open-ended thing. You can also ask them, what could they do? Maybe they can earn enough for one lesson. Maybe they can earn it by babysitting or raking leaves or, what can they do to help? And, I'm not suggesting that parents, prompt their kids to sell their possessions, but, go to a vintage store, go to the Salvation Army and see what's there. A lot of parents don't realize that it can be pretty cool to wear vintage clothes, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time you need, for instance, when prom season comes up, do you want to wear the same old thing that every other kid is wearing, or do you want to wear a vintage dress, or do you want to maybe wear a sari, or do you want to make something? I mean, there are all sorts of ways to get creative about what you're wearing. The iPod issue, mm-hmm. for instance.
Mm-hmm.
There are used iPods. You can find one. And a kid could take 2 months to earn the money to put towards an iPod.
Right.
You have to involve them.
What a concept.
Yeah, I know. It's their life.
Yeah.
And the more connected they are to their own life, the better they're going to do.
We're talking with Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson about saying no to your kids, especially your tweens and teens, now that money is getting tight in a lot of households. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call now from Kathy. Kathy's calling from Long Island, New York. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
My daughter is a very good honors student and wants to go to a very expensive college that we really can't afford. And, of course, we've been telling her to please go to the SUNY schools. And she says, I don't work this hard, in order to go to a SUNY school. I won't, So in a bit, we're a little relieved because we've been told now that we probably won't be able to get the loan in order to pay for her because of this terrible economy. So I hate to say, but we're a little relieved because we feel that she could get that great education at the SUNY school.
And I live in New York State, and I know, for instance, that SUNY Binghamton is one of the most competitive schools in the country.
She yesterday just said, I guess I'll use them as my backup.
Good. And, I love the idea that, this has sort of let you off the hook, because when you're faced with the stark reality, your daughter, look, she already went the distance. She's like, okay,
Well, she's still going to try, and she's going to see if she can get scholarship because she's a great student. But I think it's starting to get into her head with everything she's seeing and hearing that reality is reality, and your mom and dad can't afford $50,000 a year, type of a thing. So, but it is hard because when you have friends that can do it without a blink, like, that's when it gets hard.
So do you – let me ask you how you feel as a parent. So are you feeling bad as a parent that you can't give her what she wants in this particular case? I mean, you said you feel relieved. I understand that, but
– Well, yeah, we do feel bad because when you go on the tours to these fancy colleges and you see what's available, you do have a little bit of guilt because you do feel like, wow, this does sound like a extraordinary experience, But at the same time, my husband and I went to the SUNY schools. We got great educations, and I feel like, as I say, if she can get a scholarship, then it would be on her own accord,
Yeah.
Right, and I would add to Kathy that, never admit to feeling bad. It's like you're giving up the last piece of ground that you have as a parent. So
yeah.
You keep your, hold your head up. And your daughter's academic excellence is her ticket.
Right.
So good for her. And you know what? As somebody who went to a less expensive school and then transferred with scholarship, you can do it.
Right, right, right.
Great. Thanks for your call, Kathy.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go to a caller now from Toledo, Ohio. I believe the name is Kenyon, if I've got that right. I'm not sure. Hi, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I was just going through this the other day with my children. They are 3, 5, and 7 years old, and I also have a 13-year-old daughter. The other three are boys. But it's kind of, you don't want to hurt their feelings, you know. It's one of those things. But I learned that, you know, it is good to be honest with your children, because growing up without, you know, in very humble means, my mom had no choice but to tell me why things were the way they were, because I wanted to know why the lights were off or why, you know, we couldn't talk about certain things around certain people. So it empowered me as an when I was growing up to take more responsibility, to take some pressure off of her. And, you know, when you're honest with your children, and in return, they'll be honest with you. You know,
so you have already talked to your kids about all this, and they've been accepting of it?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't really can't say how accepting my 3 and 5 year old are. But, you know, they don't complain much. But, you know, you get those questions about why you can't go to certain places and spend money and do things you're used to doing. And the best and the most effective way for me has been being honest. I don't have the money now, son. And when I do, you know, I certainly will. And we'll take into consideration, you know, maybe or compromise. Sometimes I compromise with them. You know, we won't go, you know, today, but we'll go at the end of the week.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just best to me to be honest with our children, because they'll learn. You know, they'll I think they learn better through honesty than, you know, us keeping them in the shadows. You know, and also, it'll give them a heads up on what they face when they go through certain things when we are not around, when they're a little older.
Right.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
And I just want to remind the audience that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Amy Dickinson, two words he used there I think are good ones to keep in mind, honesty and compromise.
Right. And what I love about this particular dad is that, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that kids, especially young kids, they want you. They want you. They want your time. And whether it's at the playground, the park, or just out for a walk, that's what they want the most of all. With older kids, you know, when you go to the movies, if you're lucky enough to go, take a look at the prices for the snacks.
Yeah.
And what you can say to them is, look, we can manage to go to a movie. We can't afford those snacks. Check out those, you know, $5 for a large soda? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And this is just a quick way to educate them about what things cost.
All right, let's take another call now from Carrie in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have two kids that, especially my daughter, who is 12, gets a lot of pressure from other kids and even other parents to why we haven't bought her a cell phone. And I think that's kind of interesting that it has even come from parents. You know, what's the matter with your parents that they haven't done that?
Okay, this is great, because I just got a letter from a 12-year-old kid who couldn't understand why she couldn't have a cell phone. And I respond, because lots of times it does come from other parents. And here's what I love. When another parent will say they feel sorry for your kid.
Yes.
Because your kid doesn't have a cell phone or an iPad.
What's the matter with your parents? Why haven't they done that?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is, you're just instilling the most important thing in your family is your values, right?
Right.
And your daughter needs to, I actually think that if you do it in a certain way, she can feel proud. She can feel proud of the values in your house. And one of the things you can do, you know, certainly early on, you start when they're really young, how to give, how will we give? You know, you can ask your kids to donate a little bit of their allowance.
Right.
And this just gets them thinking about, there's always a kid out there who has so much less than your kid, you know?
Well, the other thing, too, that my husband and I try to talk about with our kids, it's not that we can't afford it, because we can. It's just that she doesn't need it at this point. It's a very expensive thing that she doesn't need. and therefore we aren't going to buy it. And I think that sometimes the kids get this idea, well, they must be poor because she doesn't have a cell phone. Oh, no, we're doing okay, you know. I mean, maybe the 401K is not doing as well, but it's not that we can't afford it. I could go out and buy one. It's that she doesn't need it. She's only 12. When the time comes she needs it, you know, then we'll talk about it then. But if, I was surprised at the pressure that she received to, you know, get a cell phone. That started in about fifth grade. That just seems ridiculous that a 9 or 10-year-old would need a cell phone.
All right, I want to pursue some
earlier and earlier. It feels like you know.
Thanks for your call, Carrie. We just have about a minute left, and
well, thank you,
Amy. I just wanted to ask you. She talked about she doesn't need it, so I mean, now is the time, I guess, to differentiate between wanting and needing.
Absolutely, that's what we're all doing. You know, when you have to choose between putting gas in your car and going out, you know, for an evening, you know, with you and your husband, that's the choice you make. And when your kids see you making those choices, that's good. That's not a bad thing.
And the holidays are coming up. So, again, this is going to be a time where parents are really going to have to be dealing with these issues with
right.
their kids.
Time to get out those knitting needles, right?
If only I knew how to knit, it would be helpful. Amy, thanks so much for joining us again.
Sherlyn, thank you.
Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune, and she joins us on many Thursdays. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.